You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm excited to be here for another edition of our show. We're all getting towards the end of the week together. Hopefully everyone has some exciting weekend plans. I know I do. I'm headed to Pennsylvania this weekend to be able to meet with comrades and go to the annual Keystone United Barbecue, along with party members from all over Pennsylvania. It's going to be an absolutely amazing time. So that's what I'll be doing. I'm hopefully going to possibly pre-record a show today, but if not, I'm going to have our very own Matt Parrott in to be able to fill in my spot tomorrow because I'll be traveling. So if you're not doing anything nationalist-oriented this weekend, see if you can. See if there's just a little thing you can do, or spend time with your comrades, spend time with your family. Weekends are a great time to recharge and to get things done. So I know we'll get through the rest of this week together, and then hopefully we'll all have a great weekend. But to talk about things that are not so great, Theresa May has been a big discussion, of course, because as Brexit has been such an important part of nationalist discussion over the past several months, now the replacement of David Cameron with Theresa May has huge implications for the direction the UK is going. So I'm joined today, as always, on my Thursdays, by Sven Longshanks, my good friend, to give us a little bit of insight as to Theresa May's first speech and what this means. So Sven, how are you doing today? And what is, I hate even to say Miss May, but what is Theresa May up to?
Hi, Matt. Yeah, thanks for inviting me on once again. It's pretty good today. It's a pretty nice sunny day over here in Wales. That's about all that I can really say that's good, really. I mean, looking at what's happening politically, I had the misfortune to watch Theresa May yesterday from the moment she went to see the Queen. She was wearing yellow and black, which is nature's warning colours. You know, when you normally see yellow and black, you run for cover because you're about to get stung, which I think really sort of sums her up, really. I think maybe she was trying to portray something there to the electorate in what she was wearing. And then she went to give her first speech, and in the very first sentence she said what a great thing gay marriage is and how much she supported gay marriage, and the second sentence she said about how the white police are far too harsh with young blacks and they treat them far more harshly than they do white people. How can she say that? How can any self-respecting policeman see that in any way other than an insult? You know, to have the Prime Minister saying that the entire police force are somehow giving special treatment to white people and are being particularly nasty to the blacks, when we know that isn't the truth, that isn't the fact at all. And then she got to the third sentence.
I just want to jump in super quick and just bring in, hate to cut you off, but to bring up that Barack Obama did the same thing at the Interfaith Service for the Police Officers in Dallas. He actually spent half of his time talking about racial discrimination against blacks and about how, I mean, basically that the rage that Black Lives Matter and groups like that is justified. So we actually, while Theresa May is saying that, we have the American president basically saying the exact same thing. So I just thought that'd be an interesting thing to throw in there real quick.
Well, yeah. Well, this is the new world order, isn't it, Matt? This is the new world order. They are singing from the same hymn sheet, both sides of the Atlantic. You know, the third sentence that she came out with was talking about how we need to get more women in top positions. And it wasn't until right at the very end of her speech that she said, "Oh, and of course, we're also going to have to set up a special unit for Brexit." And that was it. No mention of immigration. It was all concentration on gay marriage, feminism, putting women into the top positions, and how nasty the police are for picking on the blacks. And this is the same thing. We get this in America. We saw this with the Olympics, when they were really pushing Russia and saying that Russia was a really nasty, bad country because they didn't promote homosexuality. And we've seen them also saying the same about these African leaders. They're terrible. They need to be promoting homosexuality. And they've even said to some of these Negroes over there in Africa that they're welcome to come here as refugees if they're being persecuted for their homosexuality. So we could end up with a possibility of having towns in Britain just filled up with Somalian sodomites, basically. I mean, how are you going to ask them to prove that to you? How are you going to ask them to prove that to you if you're at the border? They can just say that and get away with it and be allowed in. You know, this is what we're facing. And I know that we're going to get far more of it with Theresa May. There's a picture of her online. She's wearing a T-shirt. It says, this is what a feminist looks like. So she's really proud of her feminism. And the only reason she's there is because the whole country voted to leave the EU. And the reason why they voted to leave the EU is because of immigration. You know, this is the reason why we left. And she doesn't even mention that in her speech. She doesn't talk about it at all. Before the Brexit, she said, well, we don't have a problem with immigration. We don't have a problem with defending our borders. And she was the one responsible for defending our borders. And sure enough, now that she's no longer Home Secretary, she's promoted another female to the job of Home Secretary. You might have resurrected Jo Cox and put her in the position. You know, we've got another pro-refugee female that's going to be running that position. And what she finally said at the end of it was that this is going to be a social justice premiership, a social justice premiership. So that's what this is all about, and not real social justice, where you provide jobs for the people that are unable to work. You make it so that everybody has a roof over their heads. You encourage the British people to produce more children and give them incentives to produce children. No, that's not the social justice she's talking about. The social justice that she's talking about is giving children to homosexuals, giving perverts the same rights as everybody else, making it so that anyone that's part of an ethnic minority can just claim that they were called a nasty name, and then whoever they like will be locked up. Just today, they've been promoting the idea that anybody that criticises women, that should be classed as a hate crime. Even if somebody is wolf-whistling and paying a compliment, if a woman feels that that her feelings are hurt, then she can then say that this is a hate crime. And the person that was complimenting, you know, the woman that was walking past, they can then be arrested. And they were talking about this on a talk show, and the actual wording of these hate crimes is that if the victim thinks that they were being picked on particularly for their race or their ethnicity or their sexuality or their disability, and now for their gender, if they just think that, then that automatically merits it as being a hate crime. So that means that anyone that's part of these protected minorities can, if they're a victim of a crime, they can, all they have to do is say, well, the person called me an old dyke, say, and that's it. The person that did that crime is then going to have an increase in his sentence. And we know that just for normal crimes don't even get properly investigated anymore. And they're adding more and more people to this hate crime thing. And if they say that women, people that insult women, misogyny, then, and that's a hate crime, then that automatically means that it's pretty much only white men left that it's impossible to commit a hate crime against. And as we know, it's white men that are the victims of the most disgusting criticism and insults every day on the television. I mean, even Homer Simpson is an insult to white people. Every time you see a white woman with a Negro in an advert, that's an insult to a white man. Every time you see homosexuals being portrayed as being the same as a heterosexual relationship with a woman, that's another insult to the white man. So what they're trying to do is basically say that everybody else is a privileged minority. If everybody else ever gets insulted, they can then call it a hate crime and people can get prosecuted. And for the white man, that doesn't matter about him. He's not a protected species. We don't care about him. Nobody can actually commit hate crimes against the white man. And this is what we're seeing. And I do fear that this is just going to increase under Theresa May's premiership. I mean, that's what she said it's going to be, a social justice premiership. And that's what she means by social justice.
Well, of course. I mean, and the only form of social justice I like is going back, you know, as you mentioned, on what true social justice is. I mean, Father Charles Coughlin with the National Union of Social Justice, really where that term got introduced in America in the 1930s. And, you know, the quote I'll say every time I bring up Father Coughlin that I absolutely love is, America's at a crossroads and must choose between the path to communism or the path to fascism. And I chose the path, I choose the path to fascism. And that was his definition of social justice. You know, what it's actually supposed to mean on the idea of ensuring that men can provide for their families, that, you know, the unborn are protected, that, you know, traditional morality is protected. That is real social justice. But the leftist definition just literally flips everything on its head. Everything that is right is wrong. Everything that is bad is good. And that's really how they define everything. And the way I see it, that when you look at this system, like you said, the only people that are being left out of all this hate crime legislation, stuff like that, is white males. And we're going to be seeing very soon, I believe, if we continue on this trajectory, both in the UK and in Europe and here in the United States, is following very similar to what happened in former Rhodesia and in South Africa, where you create these laws bit by bit by bit to disenfranchise, you know, white males, it'll start with, and eventually it'll include white females. I spend too much time reading the, you know, the various left-wing blogs and stuff like that, and the intersectional feminists and stuff who define that white feminists now aren't real feminists because they're not communities of color or queer. So you've even got within the feminist community that white women are going to be thrown under the bus. It's just going to be whites that are thrown under the bus. And if you see what's happened in South Africa, being denied government services, being denied government jobs, being denied employment, having, I mean, we already basically have it here in the United States, that to be able to get a federal government or state government contract, you have to have a certain amount of diversity to be able to qualify for this. It doesn't matter if your company is in, you know, a place like Appalachia that, you know, you can live in a 99% white county. It doesn't matter if the population is overwhelmingly white, and then even your employment just reflects the demographics of the area where your business is housed. If you don't have enough diversity, then you don't have access to these contracts. I actually had a friend who worked in the construction business that said when he was working in Kentucky that there would be that he met a guy, a black guy that, you know, he got along with all right, who had a black construction firm, and for the unions and these different corporations to be able to get jobs to build like a high rise or a stadium or something like that, there had to be a certain amount of contracts given to these exclusively black owned companies. And the black guy told him, he was like, you white people are so dumb because we don't do anything. We show up, get paid twice as much as you, and we don't even have to do any work. You just have to have us here and pay us basically to stand around as you guys do all the real work, get paid half as much money to be able to get these contracts in the first place. Or else, you know, they try and find some other group, and they actually would do almost no building. Because why would they? They're getting paid just to be there and be black, to bring diversity to the work site. It wasn't about the quality of the job. So that's something that we're already seeing kind of creeping in. And again, you know, as I've talked about in the show plenty of times now, the fact that the Supreme Court has upheld racial discrimination against whites in higher education. They already do it when it comes to government contracts. They already do it in all these different ways where they're normalizing racial discrimination against whites. That is state-sponsored. It's not just they're going to try and attack you in the media or shame you for, you know, using all the different buzzwords they love to use. They're actually trying to take bread out of the mouths of our children. They're actually trying to make it harder for us to be able to get education, making it harder to be able to get jobs. I mean, things like Google, for instance, when NASA had, you know, they launched a new probe, and it was able to land, and they had, I looked at all the actual pictures of the NASA team. It was pretty much all white and Asian. But of course, Google on their graphic had the team, had a bunch of Africans represented on it. That even when we accomplish something, we're not allowed even to take pride in our accomplishments. You know, this forced diversity is coming, and it has nothing to do with effectiveness. It has nothing to do with getting the job done. Everything is in the name of equality and left-wing social justice. I mean, appointing women just because they're women, appointing blacks just because they're blacks, And then even if we are the most qualified, white males specifically are actively discriminated against. It's a tragic thing to see where it's going. And these hate speech laws is just one additional thing that they're adding. So they're trying to drive us out of the workforce. They're trying to drive us out of education. I saw the BBC not too long ago was hiring for positions where they specifically said whites need not apply. They're trying to drive us out of the media, what little influence whites have in the media. They're trying to drive us out of that. It seems to me, Sven, I mean, I'd be curious as to your thoughts, but it seems on a full front, they're trying to drive us out of society pretty much every way they can. Any way they can discriminate against whites and get us out of any place that has any power, any influence, they're trying to purge us from.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what a diversity quota is. That's all these quotas are. It's just a way to replace white people, and particularly white men. I mean, this is what their gender quotas are all about. They've already been doing this in Sweden for quite a while. Apparently, about 45% of all the top positions in businesses are now taken up by women, who have only got there just purely because of their gender. Not there because of their attributes or their skills that they've worked themselves up. They're just purely there so that Sweden can say, well, 45% of our directorships are all held by women. And this is what Theresa May wants to do. She supports these diversity quotas. And yet, if we were to say, well, we don't want any blacks to apply for this job, then we would be locked up for saying that. And yet, you're quite right, as you say there, that that's exactly what the BBC did. They said white people don't need to apply for this job. And the strange thing is, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that they were telling us that these non-whites were coming over to our countries to do the jobs that we didn't want to do. So if it's jobs that we don't want to do, why are we being told not to even apply for them? Do you think white people don't want to be weathermen on the television? They don't want to be news readers on the television? They don't want these top jobs acting in the soap operas on the television? Well, no, of course white people want to be doing this. But the BBC, which is run by Jews, the same as ITV, they are the ones that are pushing this. And what people don't realise is that so there's such a high percentage of Jews in the television. And if they were to say, well, we're going to have these diversity quotas and we're going to apply them to Jews, so only 2% of everyone you see on the television is going to be a Jew, there would be an uproar, and 99% of the people on television would disappear. And all of these newsreaders, these journalists that are interviewing the people about what's been happening with this Brexit and with this not even an election. I mean, Theresa May has just been made Prime Minister by default. All the people talking about this, all these talking heads, you know, they're all Jewish. You just look at them and you just think, God, they look so ugly. Really disgusting looking people. And they're all overjoyed that Theresa May has been made Prime Minister. But I can tell you this, the Tory party members, they're not overjoyed. Apparently there's been a massive surge and an increase in memberships of UKIP. All the Tory members that were denied a vote, they were denied the ability to actually vote on who was going to be the leader of their political party. They're all sick of this, and they've all moved en masse to UKIP because nobody wanted Theresa May. She voted to remain in the country. David Cameron said that the next Prime Minister was going to have to be somebody that voted to leave the EU, not somebody that had voted to remain. And all the new cabinet would have to be made up of people that voted to leave. And they've scrubbed that from his speech. They've removed that from his speech that's on the internet. And instead, they've just forced this awful woman on us. And you can see that she just loves all the attention. She pretends to be that she's humble. She pretends that she's got humility. You can just see it on her face. She just loves it all. But the only good thing I could possibly say about her is that when she waves at people, it's not quite as offensive as when Hillary Clinton does it. Have you seen this? Have you seen this Hillary Clinton wave that she does at the people? And she sort of picks people out in the crowd and does this halfway. Oh, man, it just makes me cringe every time I see it. That Clinton woman, she's just so hideous. I mean, this really would be the worst thing, would be if Clinton got in and we had Clinton, Theresa May and Merkel. I mean, that would just be an absolute nightmare. And it's a real indictment of the failure of white men, to be honest. You know, we've allowed the women to do this to us. We've allowed them to bring feminism into us. We said, yeah, yeah, you go along, you do that, you take over the positions that we have, yeah, yeah, you kill your babies if you want, yeah, yeah, you have your no-fault divorce if you want. You know, we just allowed them to do all of this, thinking that women know what they actually want, and they don't know what they actually want. Instinctively, what they want is they want a strong male to protect and provide for them and to lead, that so that they can support them. But they're not going to tell a male that, because if they tell the male that, they're not going to know that he's capable of doing it. You know, they're not going to know that he's capable of leading if they say, well, we want you to lead. They're just going to go along with it. They want somebody that is assertive and takes charge, that they can then be supportive to. It doesn't matter what they say. I mean, even Theresa May, you know that she would just go weak at the knees if she saw a real man. You know, I saw her husband yesterday.
He's exactly as you'd imagine. A crucial thing with that. That white men for decades, we've basically abandoned our position. I mean, we were basically told, you know, you're, and it's radical materialism and individualism at the heart of it. It's what capitalism does. You know, it says that the family doesn't matter, that masculine responsibilities of being a patriarch of your family, being a community leader, doesn't matter. You just need to be able to go and you need to get your job. You need to make money. And the system rewarded men for decades as they were working through the media, through the education system, to break down the family, to promote things like multiculturalism and radical feminism. They were buying men off. I mean, it's kind of like the memes I really love about my parents' generation. You know, it's like graduate high school, walk into a $40,000 a year job and can buy a house at age 19. You know, that's what the system did. There was enough wealth that they could buy off white men for decades. And now we've got an entire generation of young men. I mean, you just look at what's happening within, within the media on things like Pokemon Go. You've got grown men who are older than me, who are spending their days now running to businesses and running around the streets trying to collect Pokemon on their phones so they can play a game because when they were 9 years old. I mean, I played Pokemon. Pokemon Red and Pokemon Blue came out when I was a kid, and I played it when I was a child. But I'm a grown man who has a wife and a child and responsibilities. But you've got grown men who are sometimes decades older than I am. You know, I'm in my mid-20s, devoting their entire life to Pokemon. Instead of, you know, as the world burns around them, as whites are being targeted, you know, in a 24-hour period, we had 5 white cops shot and killed. We had a mass shooting in Tennessee where whites were specifically targeted. We had 2 other instances of white police officers who were shot in a span of 24 hours. And white men just want to play Pokemon. You know, it's what they've done through things like pornography. I mean, pornography, you know, men have a natural masculine instinct to go out, to be able to, be physically fit, to be strong, to provide, to be able to go and get a woman and then be able to have kids and have a stable family unit. But things like Jewish-led pornography has been able to short circuit in white men for decades. The ability to for men to have that masculine urge to go out of their house. You know, they've been able to give us all the food we want, all the beer we want, all the porn we want, all the stuff we want, as they've literally destroyed things, everything around us. They're tearing down our entire civilization, but they've bribed off white men for decades to totally abandon their responsibilities. You know, if women, you see it within the black community, that black women are generally very assertive. Because, you know, most of them are single moms, for instance, and they've got to be able to basically take on the masculine and the feminine role because, you know, a lot of men in their community are not participating in the traditional masculine role of being a protector and a provider and a husband and a father. So women then take on that role as a survival instinct. And what it seems to me within the white world is the same thing has happened, that white women, you know, were being pushed by radical feminism to hate men and to be able to be forced into all these things. But everything starts and stops at the end of the day with white men. Because we're the ones that allowed the Jews to do this to us. We're the ones that gave up our responsibilities. We're the ones that gave up being protectors and providers and patriarchs in order to have stuff and to play Pokemon and to watch sports ball, to watch your chosen team of people, you know, in spandex run around on a field instead of caring about your nation and your communities and your race. It seems to me that the Jewish subversion of white men really is the cornerstone, really is the key as to why we have radical feminism and multiculturalism and everything like that. They've bribed us, they've dumbed us down, they've emasculated us, and this is just the end result of when white men aren't acting like white men.
Well, this is just it, Matt. You know, men are supposed to provide and protect for the women, and the women are supposed to provide children for the men. And that's the natural way of things. And if you take that away from the men, if you say, well, there aren't any more available women, and you just aren't going to be able to marry and settle down with them, then men haven't got a reason to be around anymore. And so, they're told then that what they should be doing is sleeping around with all these women and giving in to their desire. And that's what life is about. It's all about giving in to your desire and your passions. So the men go out and they sleep around and they find that that's empty. That doesn't actually fill that hole. You know, a lot of them aren't even certain what it is. They just know that they're missing something. So they're going out and they're sleeping with all these women, and they're not actually getting anywhere. It's not actually providing them with any contentment. And the women are moaning that there aren't good enough men, and they've been told that they should be going out to work and earning money for a boss is a far better thing to do than to love and care and look after your husband and your children. So it all falls apart. And the problem is that a lot of men think, oh, well, it's great. We've got a great thing. We've got all this free sex. We don't have to be tied down. But if you look at look at the faces of the people from 50, 60, 70 years ago, there you can see how much happier they were. If you look at the old slums, the council slums in Britain, and you look at the families there, they're beaming from ear to ear. They've got smiles all over their faces. The kids are out playing. You know, dad would go out to work, go to the pub in the evening. Women weren't allowed in the pubs. They were kept separate. You know, men and women had definite roles that they had to play. They were secure in the roles that they had to play. They were secure in the knowledge of what they were going to do when they grew up, what sort of a person they were going to be, what sort of a job they were going to have. They had all of this security, and they just ended up letting it go as we were bribed with all these new things, these new trinkets and the scantily clad women. And, oh, yeah, it's fine. We've got contraception now, so we can divorce sex from procreation and producing children. So we can separate that, and then everybody can just give in to their desires all the time. And once you give in to your desires, you're distracted. You're not going to be able to focus on things. You're not going to be able to see the bigger picture. All you're going to be able to think about is your desires. I mean, once a man gets aroused, he can't think about anything else. You know, and the women know this. They know that if they dress provocatively, they can distract the men and they can manipulate the men more easily. And the politicians know this, and the establishment knows this. That's why they use it all the time. The soft pornography in the music videos and in the magazines, in the news agents and in the supermarkets. All the time they're trying to distract people, and they use sex as the way of doing it. And if we'd stuck by our moral laws, they would never have been able to do that. And men would never have been distracted by it. And they'd have seen what was going on. And they'd said, no, we can't do this. And another part of it was also sowing this ridiculing and mocking the elder generation, which has never gone on before. You've always looked to your elders for the advice. And what do we say about our elders now? We say, oh, they're old racists, or they're homophobes. We don't want to listen to them because they're just talking hate all the time. And our young people ignore them. Just look at this Brexit vote, and the young people are attacking the older people. And the older people have given up their security over the next few years, their economic security, for the better deal that their grandchildren are going to get by being out of the EU. You know, they've actually sacrificed, and the young people haven't sacrificed anything, and yet there they are insulting the old people. What it boils down to is we have to go back to tradition.
You know, you bring up a really important thing with it. For instance, even look at sex. I mean, it just goes to show how wrong the system is and how they're just selling a false bill of goods. They've done study after study after study that a married couple has more sex, way more sex. If you're only interested in having sex, they've done studies. The best thing you can do is have a monogamous marriage. You will have more sex with your wife if you've got, you know, a good marriage, an average marriage. Then if you're going out to the clubs or the pubs, trying to pick up, loose women. I mean, if you're just even being driven by your passions, if, you know, you buy into the idea of what the system is, of it's all about being happy. When you're married and you have a family, You live longer. They've proven that. You have an overall higher happiness rating. Everything about your life, when you follow God's plan, when you follow the traditional way that gender roles are supposed to work out, the traditional way society is organized, you actually end up happier. You end up living longer. You have a more fulfilling existence. And these are, of course, numbers that aren't going to be shown. People are told you've got to be divorced from all this. You've got to be divorced from the family, from your people, from your culture, from children. And that's not the way to go. If you just want to be happy, be a nationalist and a traditionalist. You know, if you just want to have lots of sex, be married and be a nationalist and be a traditionalist. And they just lie. That's all the system is one big lie. And that's what they're promoting on us. So as we come to the end of the show, as I do on every show, Sven, I think we've hit on something that's so important here to understand. That getting back to traditional values, getting back to the way European society is supposed to be organized, is the best for our racial health, it's the best for our physical health, our spiritual health, our mental health. Everything about us is better by following the way that our ancestors did it. So what is your kind of final thought on this as we come to the end of our show today?
Well, traditions are traditions because they prove to be successful at preserving the community and preserving the culture. The culture preserves the community, and the culture is full of traditions that go way back. You know, things evolve, but they don't change that much. I mean, the marriage ceremony, that's evolved over the years, but it's always just been a man and a woman. You can't suddenly turn that on its head and say that two men can get married. Apart from it being a physical impossibility, it's just going to tear the community and the culture and the people apart, as it has done. So traditions are traditions because they are successful, and that's what we need to go back to. Just traditionally, you know, a white man would marry a white woman. That's the most traditional thing, and yet we're told that's racist now. So I agree, Matt. That's what we need to get back to, is following and honoring our traditions.
I couldn't say it any better myself. We need to be able to maintain our traditions, honor them, and pass them on to our children. So that's something that's so important, comrades. We need to listen to, and we need to live in our everyday lives. So Sven, thank you as always for being here. Thank you to my listeners. And the Daily Traditionalists will be back with a new edition tomorrow. So looking forward to that. And then, of course, next week, got some new guests lined up. Going to be a great time. So I hope everyone has a great rest of your day. Have a good one, and hail victory.
Tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.